I tell you something. They need to read the Bible. They need to understand what the grace of God is for. You know what this woman had to do? She had to reach out. She had to get past all of that stuff and get to the point that she could just touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture says when she touched him, because of her faith, immediately she was made whole. See, when she touched him, and this was like this, you know, people were all over touching Jesus. I've been to those seminars where they teach you about working together. And to start with, what they do, and this is the way it is when you're room with other people and you don't know them, and they say, now y'all get together as close as you feel comfortable. And you know, people will be standing at a distance. You know, we have our space. And folks, we should have our space, by the way. That's a message for another time, but you know, we're in our comfortable space. And then they start telling us about, you know, we all got to get together. Maybe we got to hold something up above our head and, you know, we got to be able to turn it in a certain way. And all of a sudden people forget about it and they're all of a sudden just like this. Yeah. And that's the way it was. People were all over Jesus, touching him, but nobody reached out. Do you understand that? Nobody else reached out, because when this woman touched him, because of her faith, he stopped. Because immediately he said, I perceive that virtue, which is power, has gone out from me. You see, you can be right in the middle. Here's the point. You can be doing everything in church. You can be busy with everything. You can be involved with everything going on, but you can never reach out to God. They were all over him, but they never reached out to him. She reached out to him. Although they touched him, they didn't reach out to him. See, sometimes you got to cry out. Sometimes you got to reach out. And the next one I want to give you is sometimes you got to pour out. In Luke chapter number 7, in verse number 11, it says, it came to pass the day after. This is more of Jesus' miracles. That he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. You see, what I want us to understand when we look at this woman, she had a great need. See, she was a widow and her husband was already dead, and now her only son was dead. And when Jesus came to her and he spoke to her, two words. He said, weep not. You know, I begin to think about this, and I thought about sometimes what it means. And here, what I want you to understand when I say sometimes you got to pour out, is I want to ask you something. I want you to think about something. When's the last time that you actually felt so broken and you come before the Lord until you just cried? Until the tears wet the place where you're praying. Where they run down your face. I don't care if you're praying about somebody that you love. Do you have lost loved ones? I don't care if you're praying about a child that's in trouble, that's gone astray. I want you to know that God recognizes your tears. And if you go to Psalms 39 in verse 12, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. Then in Psalms 56:8, it says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now here's what I want us to understand. When it says pour out, is sometimes you got to weep. You know, we're in a position today, sometimes men say, well, I'm a man, I don't cry. I want to tell you something, it's a privilege to cry. Amen. If you can't remember the last time you cried, you need to ask God to break your heart. You know, here's one thing, we need to be brokenhearted for our lost loved ones, but we ought to be brokenhearted when we go against God to the extent that we've hurt Him. You know, when we read the story of Peter, where he was there and he denied the Lord three times, the third time said when his eyes met the Lord, he went out and he wept bitterly. Have you ever wept because you broke God's heart? Have you ever wept because maybe somebody that you love is in trouble? If you've ever had anybody that you love that was addicted to methamphetamines, you need to cry. You need to pour out. You need to ask God. It's almost like this. God, if there's any way, can you do something? Because I can't do anything. And I want you to know that God, on our behalf, He hears our cry. Amen. In Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 26, says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And here's what I want you to understand. God feels our pain. You see, if you're involved with ministry and you're in church, and you don't have to be the pastor or the preacher, all you got to do is love people. You know, one thing that's very important in a church is fellowship. Okay? And when we come into the house of God and we join the family of God and we become a member of a church, a member of Hiram First Baptist Church, this is your family. Amen. And sometimes what happens is you actually get closer to your church family than you do your natural family, because you know you see them at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I just hate it that it's this way, but a lot of times you ain't getting along then. But you come into the house of God, and we're here, and we're family. You know, you ever had, it is going to happen if it happened, hasn't yet. But have you ever seen one of your family members broken? You ever got that call during the middle of the night that somebody lost a child? That call during the middle of the night that somebody's loved one has gone out to meet the Lord? Have you ever got that call that they say, so-and-so's house burnt down last night? You ever got that call that they say, this one that was a member of our youth group, they're in trouble? The Bible tells us that we ought to bear one another's burdens. Right. And there have been times, I want to tell you, since I've been in ministry, since I've been in church, don't have to be the pastor, that I've gotten that call. And I've went and I've sat with people that had rivers of water running down their face, tears where their hearts was broken because they are facing something that was devastating in their life. And you know, when they cry out and it's pouring, all you can do sometimes is cry with them. But here's what I want you to understand, that if you need a miracle, that if you need God, and you cry before Him, and you cry out before Him, He maketh intercession with the Father on your behalf. And here's what it means. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times in your life that all you can do is cry, but God knows how to intercede on your behalf and petition the Heavenly Father for you and for exactly what you need. I can't do that. You see, there are times, the truth is, sometimes as a pastor, and I've taken all different kind of counseling classes, sometimes all you can do is sit with them. Sometimes you can hold their hand. I heard a lady one time, she said she got a call and her best friend had lost a child. She said, I got to her house and she was laying on the bed. She said, I just laid down with her and we cried a while. Do you know that sometimes you come in the house of the Lord, your heart could be broken? You ever come in and it's like this morning, praise God, we can worship. But sometimes you come in and you don't know how in the world you even made it to get here. It's so heavy, my heart's so heavy, I got so much going on. I want to tell you something. When you come down here and you cry before God, it's the greatest cleansing, it's the greatest help because He makes intercession. For you, the Bible says, with groanings which cannot even be uttered out of our mouth. I don't know how to do it, but Jesus does. Sometimes You got to cry out. Sometimes you got to reach out. Sometimes you have to pour out. And the last one, sometimes you have to hold out. Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 17. And this is not something that I like. You know, sometimes when I read things and God shows them to me, I don't like troubles. I don't like trials. I wish everybody in my family would just serve God to the extent that they could be an example to me. I don't like my own troubles. You know, sometimes I do things and I think, boy, I'm so crazy. I'm stupid. Why'd I do that? Why'd I act that way? Why, you know what? There are things in our life that we don't like, and I want to read some of this to you, and I want you to see it, because there may be times we have to go through things, and if we're going to make it through it, we're going to stay with God. We can't make it through it if we don't. In Mark chapter number 9, in verse 17, it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it since this came to him? And he said, Of a child. Now, when you look at this scripture, I'm going to read the rest of it in a minute, but I want you to understand something. This had been going on a long time. The devil had had a hold of this boy, and when Jesus came, that devil recognized that Jesus was coming. And here's something I want you to understand something. You ever started and said, well, I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, it seems like it just gets worse. Trouble starts coming. The devil starts chasing. There's trouble in the home. There's trouble with the children. There's trouble at work. Look at what the scripture says. The devil saw Jesus, and he went to tearing this boy. And he jumped on him and he said, I'm going to do everything. Here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to do everything to kill you and break up your home before you get enough strength with God that he has no effect. It says, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion. Hey, listen to this. If you can do anything, have compassion upon us. How many times was he near death? How many times had he heard that 911 had been called because he had near overdosed? How many times had he went and had to get him out of jail? How many times had the devil almost killed him? He said, God, it's been going on since he was just a boy. If there's anything you can do, please help us. Wow. Yeah. You know, sometimes we get in a situation like that. You know what we say? I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of going through this. God, I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to live right. I'm tired of going to jail to get my son out. I'm tired of getting the call at night worried that maybe one of my children is overdosed on drugs. I'm tired of the problems. I want you to understand something. Sometimes you got to hold out because it's not always easy. Don't give up.
Amen.
This man had to hold out. He said, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Sometimes it's what we got to do. Remember that crying. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I don't know if you've ever prayed this way. God already knows, but I'm just going to tell you. Sometimes I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm just a man. I made a mess again. And Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to be helped because I can't do it myself. Here he said, Lord, and he cried with tears, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. No more. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It says, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that they said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked him privately, they said, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind cometh not forth, but by prayer and fasting. Do you know that there are people who go to the grave praying for their children? And we read the scripture a minute ago where the Lord said, the psalmist wrote, he said, All my tears thou hast kept in thy bottle. Now I can just imagine this spiritually, that every tear that mama and daddy cried, God's catching them. And sometimes, you know, it seems like it's getting worse and we just need to hold out because here's what I think's happening, is God's getting ready to take that bottle of tears and he's going to pour them over that person's head. And when that grace and that unmistakable mercy and love of God reaches them and hits them where they're at, I want to tell you something. They have to go a different way. When I look at this scripture, the devil was trying to kill this boy. And this man was tired. He was weary. But sometimes you got to hold out. He said, This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. It's like this. Well, I've been praying for him for years. Keep praying.
That's right. Amen.
We're going to have an altar call in a minute. You can pray some more. Don't give up. Believe. He said, This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. You see, sometimes when our miracle is passing by, you got to cry out and you got to say, Jesus, help me. Sometimes when your miracle is passing by, you got to reach out. You got to reach out and you got to do your best to touch him. See, you can be in his presence and there are people that come into service every Sunday, but they don't leave with a miracle. Say they're in God's presence, but being in God's presence is not enough. You got to cry out. You got to reach out. And sometimes when our hearts are broke, the truth is we just need to pour out. Well, God just hasn't done it yet. Well, sometimes you got to hold out. See, that's why when we come together and we come to these altars and pray, you don't come to this altar and pray by yourself. People come down and they put their arm around you, they put their hand on your back, and they pray with you because they care about what's going on in your life, because sometimes they come not forth but by prayer and by fasting. Now I'm going to ask them to come and get the song ready. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you going to do when your miracle is passing by? You see, because I believe with all my heart that God still has the power.
Amen.
You know, it's coming up on the Christmas season, and we're living in times today, you know, that people don't even know what Christmas is about Christ. We got to believe. But you can't just be in his presence. You got to do something. Now I want to ask everybody, if you would, to rise to your feet. And this is the most, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, right now is the most important time of the service. I love the singing. I love to hear the choir sing. I love the specials. I love to hear the youth sing. And I'm very proud of the youth of this church. And folks, I love to preach. I love it when God moves on me and he shows me things. But you know really what the most important time of any service is? And it's the time that you need to be most reverent in the house of God. It's the time you need to most be the most prayerful.
Yes.
Is the invitation.
Yes.
Because right now, what God has already done through his Holy Spirit is he's went and spoke to somebody. He spoke to somebody and said, you need to cry out. He spoke to somebody and said, you need to reach out. That means you need to say, excuse me, would you let me get out? Sometimes you need to cry, pour out. You know, God knows your tears, but you need to bring them before Him. And some of you are dealing with things, you say, well, I'm tired of dealing with it. Sometimes you got to hold out. If God spoke to you, most important thing you can do, what are you going to do when your miracle passes by? The altars are open if you'd like to pray. Go ahead and sing.
Jesus.
going to sing one more song because people are praying. One thing that I want you to understand, when blind Bartimaeus received his sight, there were others that needed help. When the woman with the issue of blood reached out, there were others touching Jesus. There were people that didn't get what they needed. Now people praying, so we're going to sing another song. We also, at this time, we're going to open the doors of the church. If you want to join, you can come down. We'll let you fill a car, but the altar's still open.
Yeah.
We're talking earlier, and somebody said, I can remember being in church for 2.5 hours. We can't stand it no more. If it's not a football game, we can't be still that long. God might want to change somebody's life this morning. And all you need to say is, excuse me, I need to talk to Jesus. And maybe if you obey God, the person beside you, got to be a trigger for them to come with you. They're going to sing one more time. The altar's open. If you want to pray, but if you want to be a part of this body, we'd love to have you come and join with us. All we want to do is work for Jesus till Jesus comes. Go ahead and sing.
Childhood, when we traveled so far by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me so gently. My child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold.
You know what? I just want to say one thing. You know, this world is getting stranger and stranger to me. And you know why? Because this is not my home. And if you're a sinner saved by grace, you're not at home yet. But that's where we're headed. We're going to go be with Jesus one day. And I just thank God. I know, I told Keith, I said, I need to learn another song. I mean, that's just, but that this world is not my home. And we're going home one day.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for listening to the Lord when God speaks to your heart and moving. You know, somebody got in touch with Jesus this morning. And they talked to God and they got the help they need. But there's very likely somebody that's going to go home. Because they didn't really move when Jesus passed by. I have a very good friend who pastors church over in Cobb County. And he got saved in his den. God got to dealing with him and he stayed in there like Jacob wrestling with the Lord in that den by himself all night. But by morning he was saved. If you go home and God's speaking to your heart, I tell you when you can talk to him is any time he passes by. If God comes by you at home and you're sitting there in your trouble, won't you find you a place and talk to him?
Yes.
It's between you and him. It ain't about me and it ain't about everybody else. So anytime God speaks to you, that's the time to respond. It could be at home. It could be driving down the road. I heard a guy telling me the testimony that he got saved driving down the road. I don't believe that. I tell you when you're going to get saved. When you get to the point when God's dealing to your heart that you surrender, that's when you're saved. He understands all languages, but it don't take a lot of words. He said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. He said, the guy told me, he said, I got to crying so bad I had to pull over. Praise God. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. We're all going to have a Awana tonight. We're all going to have a Bible study tonight starting at 5:45 on the book of Ruth. It's a really good lesson tonight. So come support those. Support, you know, a lot of things going on at the church. 3 o'clock, remember if you're involved with the play. Brother Tommy, if you would come.
I like that, Brother Joe. Parker D just told me, so I got saved in your den, Papa. My other grandson got saved in the kitchen.
Right.
My daughter got saved in the bedroom. So it don't make any difference where it's at.
Hallelujah.
Hey, long as you get saved.
Anywhere.
Boy, I like that. And then she come by and said, what did the Lord do for you? I got saved.
Yeah.
Woo, I like that. I got saved. Boy, I like that when they say that, man. I got saved.
Right.
But let me pray before we're starting another sermon here in a minute. I'm so excited. Father God, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this service. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that just flowed this place, God. Just filled it with the Holy Spirit, God. That people were just moving. And Lord, that's what we need to do, God. When we have burdens and problems and troubles and trials, Lord, we need to lay them at your feet, God, because you're the one that can handle them, God. We can't. There's nothing we can do for ourselves. But God, if we turn it over to you, we've already seen great, great miracles that happened in this church already, God. It's just a miracle, God, that we're all here today, God, in this building, which a lot of us thought would never